Grant and Danny with you on The Fan, brought to you by the law firm Cundori & Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. They do it all. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family. Go schedule a free consultation with our guys today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're sending us on the road. We're hanging with them in two road cities for games this season. We're going to make the announcement to what games we're traveling to, as well as our full Football Friday and our field trip series announcement coming up early next week ahead of week one. So make sure you're listening to the show on Tuesday for that. But right now, let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's welcome onto the program our guy, Sean Sharif, who, as I mentioned, his local ties and many, many years ago was one of our colleagues here at The Fan. He's been on in Dallas on 105.3. In the mornings for years. Sean, it's good to talk to you again, brother. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
What a wild day yesterday was. So this broke while we were live on the air in the afternoons here on The Fan, but you had to sit around and wait until this morning to chop some wood. What was the show like today?
You know, it was less angry than I thought it was going to be. Everyone, of course, is doing the easy topic of comparing this to Luka. And even though it's the Cowboys and they're, you know, 20 times bigger than the Mavericks, they had time to prepare for this, right, because of all this drama. And then whenever someone leaves town or asks out, you know, as soon as they end up leaving, then everyone turns and they're like, screw you anyway. We're going to boo you when you come back. So it wasn't as much vitriol and anger. When he made his trade request, I did a poll that day, 85% supported Micah Parsons. And then is this drug on and more drama and more drama. People started turning on him a little bit, saying, I'm just sick and tired of this. We're not winning with him anyway, so why not see what you can get by dealing him? So still a lot of split, mixed reaction, but not as much anger and yelling and screaming from our listeners.
Sean, we had our own ordeal here with Terry McLaurin, and at the end of it, kind of no matter what, it was always like, yeah, they're not trading him. Right? Like, it's going to end with him playing here. Did you feel that way about Michael or Micah? I have to get my pronunciation right. did you feel that way about Micah, and when did it turn from that to, oh my God, they might trade him?
Good question. Yes, I think we all felt it was going to get done. Jerry Jones there's a saying around here. If Jerry Jones, you know, wants to keep that player, he's going to keep him. Amari Cooper, we thought was going to go to you guys when he hit free agency, right? You don't let someone hit free agency. He still ended up back here. Dak Prescott, you're running out of franchise tags. You're going to play around with your franchise quarterback. They end up keeping Dak Prescott. So we just thought that it was going to be exactly the same thing. It really honestly, guys, feels like the turning point was back in March or April when Jerry made this offer. And Jerry talked about this last night. It wasn't widely reported, but a couple of us knew behind the scenes that not only did Micah, this is according to Jerry, Micah engaged Jerry, and then through Jerry's eyes, Micah lied about that in the trade request, right? Like, Micah put that out there and basically acted like he was lured into Jerry's lair. And then it got locked behind him under the premise of talking about leadership and taking over for Tank Lawrence. And then Jerry Jones tricked him into negotiations. Micah wrote that down. He put that out there for the world to see. Well, during that negotiation, according to Jerry, not only did Micah go in there, one of three people who have a cell phone number, Jerry gave it to him, you know, they're boys, father-son relationship, supposedly. After the negotiation, Micah left, came back with a counter and was like, I need this, I need this, I need this. Stephen Jones then dealt with it. So Jerry not only talked with Micah once, Micah left, we think conferred with his agent, came back, asked for more. Jerry gave in, moved off his marks, as he said, and then it still wasn't good enough. And I think that's when it was broken. What one lesson that we're learning all over again in The Gambler, if you guys watch this on Netflix, Jerry's real big on loyalty. And this whole handshake stuff and eye to eye and man to man. And, you know, he had to meditate over Jimmy Johnson because of loyalty. And he still is probably not going to totally be over that going into the grave. And I think he viewed Micah Parsons as an unloyal person who reneged on a negotiation after they sat down twice, had an agreement, and Jerry said, I'm not moving off of it. I think that was really the beginning of the end.
The reaction to this trade, Sean, has been just in a vacuum, right? Did Micah want too much? What does Kenny Clark have left? What's the value of the two firsts? For me, though, the lead needs to be, or from afar, outside of Dallas, the lead is it's a disqualifying batch of business again from Jerry Jones. I watched the Brian Schottenheimer intro presser, every minute of it, and my takeaway was this is an unserious person who can't run this thing anymore. And it just feels to me like this is like the 80-year-old head coach in college who gets to be there as long as he wants while the program falls apart all around him.
Right.
Is this not indicative of, like, you can't screw this up this bad 50 different ways, and this is just how he handles things?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Danny, I think, is the one who said it earlier. The Michael Micah thing, yeah, it's funny, but it's also not funny when you're thinking about an 82-year-old running your football team and the decisions that are being made when he can't consistently get the best player's name correct. Now, before I destroy Jerry, let me give you the side of those. Now, let me ask you guys, as Commander fans in your audience, everyone laughing at the Cowboys yesterday and today and, like, definitely thinking they got fleeced and Dallas is worse off in the East, right? Is that the reaction?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Here's the Cowboys' point of view. Behind the scenes, and we had heard this in Oxnard, they have major questions about, we all know he's an all-world athlete. He's going to track down the quarterback double-digit sacks. He doesn't play the run. Everyone knows you can run at him. Dallas will probably do that when Green Bay comes here week four. And behind the scenes, what they wouldn't say publicly is that they are worried about Micah Parsons coming up short in big moments in playoff games. I think he's got one sack in four playoff games. I'm not justifying it. I'm just giving you their side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also wears down at the end of the season because he's not the biggest guy. You see Micah Parsons, you're like, how is he throwing around 300-pounders? It doesn't make any sense. Jerry will tell you, now I would also say this. I would not have wanted to pay Micah Parsons $47 million. That's me. The Cowboys can't afford to do that because they screwed up the Dak deal. They gave him 60, which we all say, oh, the next quarterback's going to leapfrog it. Well, guess what? Dak is still, years later, the number one paid quarterback by $5 million. That's how terrible that deal looks. Then they gave Lamb 30. They've basically publicly admitted they regretted the Diggs deal by giving him 20. I'm not paying Micah Parsons $47 million when they have leadership questions. You know, this whole thing laying on the table, a lot of us were like, okay, whatever. It's not a, that was not good for them. They did not find that humorous. They looked at that as an indictment of his leadership. So if we were talking 41, maybe 42 to get ahead of TJ, okay, fine. We all know David Mulugeta, right? He doesn't beat the market by one. He beats the damn thing by four, five, six. Look at the Stingley offer. So I can defend Jerry Jones not giving Micah Parsons $47 million. I can't defend Jerry Jones not getting this done last year when every other team in the National Football League would have done that.
Sean Sharif, 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. That's where I was going to go. Now, I can defend some of this. Like, $47 million is crazy. You can make the case that you're better off not paying one player that, and team building another way works.
Yeah.
But it's terrible value.
They don't have depth here.
No.
You know, their cornerback situation is scary. Their D-tackle situation, I mean, they listed that as the prerequisite, guys, last night. The teams that we were going to deal with had to have two first-round picks and a defensive tackle who could play today. That's how Mozzie Smith has been, obviously, a total bum. He's a bust. Overshown is hurt. Like, this team, they have no running back. So this team has depth issues, so you could easily make that case, Grant, I think, like you were saying, of you can take that and transform it into three or four players.
But to that point, like, the value you get back and the timing of it right before, like, trading him now is malpractice because if you do it in the offseason, there's six teams with cap space. I mean, it's just, even if there are ways to defend it, the way they did it was ridiculous. And what you just said, I'm not shooting the messenger. I know this is kind of one of the things they're selling. But when you say, you know, they're worried about the pass rusher coming up short in big games, but yet they've made Dak the highest paid quarterback in the league twice, that's like saying I'm not going to eat an apple because there's sugar in it and then pummeling a box of donuts. Like, give me a break on that.
The what's really maddening about this, I agree with you on the timing. He was asked yesterday, they were asked, why didn't you do this in April? They go, well, we were trying to give him the extension in April. So we weren't sitting there and talking, about trading him. But the thing that's really freaking maddening is the inconsistency of the plan. You cannot give Dak Prescott $60 million, CeeDee Lamb $30 million, Trayvon Diggs $20 million, You cannot, and then trade for George Pickens, and then trade your best player. What the hell? What are you doing? Like, the consistency of it. What are you thinking of your Dak Prescott today? What are you thinking of your CeeDee Lamb? This team's not going to the playoffs. This team is not making the postseason. So you have this win-now window. We all think Dak's going to be here for two more years. You bring in Pickens. We're all excited about the offense. And then you trade the guy who makes your defense per EPA number one in the league when he's on the field and then dead last when he's off the field. So the inconsistency of the plan, now you're going into the reset. Like, now you're going to sit. Why did you even get the D tackle who's 30 years old? Like, a lot of us would have just preferred a third rounder instead or a second rounder. But that's Jerry's way of putting that little apple out there to make fans feel like he's not totally punting on the season because, oh, well, now we'll be able to play run defense because we got this tackle from the Packers.
And that's where I wanted to jump to, Sean, is this prognosis for this year. I was kind of sneaky high on the Cowboys. I actually thought the offseason was pretty good. I mean, let alone this Micah Parsons saga. But I could see them catching up to Philly, to Washington, maybe even, you know, being one of those teams you don't want to play and being a 9 or 10 win potential playoff team. Now what?
Well, everyone yesterday is like, oh my God, you're going to have an electric show and your ratings for Friday. And I don't care because I am defeated for the season. I think Micah Parsons, now Vegas isn't going to do this and show this, but I think Parsons is worth two wins over the course of a season. So if I had them at 9-8 fringe, maybe getting in as a wild card, we all know what happens in the East, right? Like the numbers say Philly won't win it. Is Jaden going to have a CJ type year? Is it going to be a step back, Washington a lot of pressure to repeat and take the next step? And history says for 20 straight years, someone else is going to win the division, but I still had them around 9-8, maybe 10-7. And I flipped that back two games the other way because, man, this defense, they're going to get shredded. Like, Dak Prescott is going to have to keep them in shootouts. And Dak Prescott, before he got hurt last year, did not play well whatsoever when they got their ass whipped multiple times. I'm worried about this thing getting ugly. If they lose to the Giants, they got Giants week two. Because they have to get off to a fast start. They got scrubs early on. They have to be 4-2 to have any shot, any hope. But if they lose to Philly Thursday and somehow lose to the Giants, this place is going to start to burn.
Yeah, that kind of start would be ugly. I want to know about week four, though. That's going to be, the dramatics. Can you imagine that matchup? Because Washington played him 2 weeks to the day of the trade. Week two, short week at Lambeau. But week four, a month from yesterday, is when the Cowboys tangle with the Packers.
I think Mike is going to get booed. I'm just predicting that right now. People are furious that he lied about taking less. You know, Micah Parsons is a wannabe leader. He loves to preach about, and I know people right now are going to be texting, oh, you're just saying that because he left. No, I had a Micah Parsons report 2 years ago that I got destroyed for by these Cowboy homers here who got so ticked off that I said anything about their beloved number 11, that he's a pain in the ass to deal with behind the scenes. Him and Trayvon Diggs, they want Trayvon Diggs out of here yesterday. And then him and Micah go palling around together. Their people, Jerry and Steven last night said it was unanimous amongst the decision makers. Now, I don't know if I totally believe that, but even if I three-quarters of the way believe it, that still says a lot. That he was, they said, what about the locker room? Going to be missing, going to be a problem? And Jerry was emphatic, basically telling everyone, no, addition by subtraction. So you got those things. And then Micah said, I don't need to be the highest paid. I want help around me. I want talent around me. And we saw $47 million a year later how that ended up.
Sean, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate the time today, dude. I know you're swamped.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You got it. There's our guy, Sean Sharif. They had a heck of a show and a heck of a day in Dallas. I have been amazed by the Cowboy fan reaction to this. It has been way more pro-Jerry Jones and way more positive than I anticipated. I wonder if some of that is just trying to convince yourself so that you're not angry and sad, because what else do you have? You're just moving on to the season. There's a game in 6 days. But I thought there would be a lot more, oh, my God. Our owner gives us no chance. We are run like an embarrassment. And I haven't heard nearly as much of that as I anticipated.
So I think it's two parts. One, what you just said, it's kind of a coping mechanism, right? But I think two, the visible stuff of Parsons' behavior, right? The laying down on the training table in the preseason game, disinterested. You know, he was, I think I read somewhere that he was now, he and his agent were going to go seek out a doctor so that he could say that he was hurt.
And that was supposedly one of the threats they brought to Dallas, was he was willing to basically find a way to medically be unavailable.
Yeah, the thing that you and I talked about is kind of like the doomsday worst-case scenario with our own set of negotiations that were going on here, where it's like, could a guy just say that his ankle hurts and then you can't find him game checks or whatever, however it works, and just sort of sit out the year? I don't know. But they were talking about doing that, and I guess that was in progress. So I think there was enough of that, hey, the holdout, I understand you want a new contract, but please, please come on. A little of the McLaurin sentiment that we saw, but that was magnified times 1,000 down there. And then the public antics on the training table, I think enough people are kind of going, whatever, we weren't winning with him anyway, which is the coping part.
So I'm willing to hear some of it, by the way. $47 million a year is too much for an edge rusher, even though the cap explodes every single year. I'm willing to hear if, you know, they're saying, we didn't really say this before, but now, you know, sometimes you unload the clip, so to speak, into the air and you go, all of the bad stuff that you have on a player, right? So now you start telling us that this is a guy who is either not great in the locker room or isn't a good leader or is lazy in the gym or, you know, whatever those things are that you start saying. I'm willing to hear some of that. This isn't the type of guy you can make the face of your franchise if that's what comes out. It does not change that the value you got back for this asset is unacceptably low.
And you diminished it, in my view.
Based solely on how you handled it.
Yeah.
Even if you did everything terribly, but you traded him in March or April, you would have done massively better than this. At least one more first rounder and probably a better player, if not two players. Like, the amount of return you would have gotten by a bunch of teams trying to get him, rather than a time where nobody has the cap space, everyone's on to the next, everyone's getting ready for the season, not trying to redo their entire roster and figure out where all the money is under the cushions. It was just handled horribly. And the last part would be that you cost yourself the $47 million, all that money, by not doing this sooner. This is their MO. They did it with Dak multiple times, have done it with CeeDee Lamb. They refuse to act early.
Well, beyond that, the what I can't be just in general is lied to. I you can't BS me, right? And if I sniff it, if I you know, sense that it's out there, I won't let it go. So again, I'm not a Cowboys fan, thank God, because I've never been to Dallas. Well, I actually have. I've probably been to Dallas more than a lot of you idiots that claim to be Cowboys fans. But the idea that, well, we're actually better off because we couldn't stop the run, and now we have Kenny Clark. You offered that dude $44 million. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is, $43 million. Like, you offered that guy astounding amounts of money.
We never wanted him.
And now we have no interest in that. No! Why would we want this player? It was a small margin of difference in the grand scheme of things. It was a percentage of a percentage of future salary cap stuff. You were trying to sign him throughout, and now all of a sudden you're playing pretend and dress up and cosplaying as someone that we're actually more concerned about run stopping. Bring me Kenny Clark or bust.
I mentioned that the Cowboys play the Packers in Week 4 in September. I want to look at Washington's September schedule. It's going to be pertinent for them to start fast.
They need to.
With the quarter that they have to begin their season. And the games early on that are very winnable. We'll get into that next, live on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Garrett's getting me fired up for football. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan. So we're lucky. We have our Pupatella Pizza gift cards that they gave us. They made us VIPs. We're able to get immense amounts of food and pizza for free every day if we wanted to. We just walk in. We drop a card right there on the hostess stand that sounds like it's a baseball. And then they say, how much pizza would you like, Mr. Rouillet?
It's pretty much, cool. Much pizza is what I would like.
I love it. It's the best. But Chipotle, apparently,
Chipotle
is getting in on the VIP game as well. Now, I have not heard from Chipotle. I don't know about you, Danny.
No, they haven't reached out.
How about this gesture for college athletes, though? They'd apparently already done this with the Ohio State football team for the 2025 campaign. I'm going to read from the Daily Mail. The Mexican Grill restaurant chain is handing every athlete at 3 colleges in question customized cards, which entitles them to 1 free entry per player for 15 weeks over the course of the season. So the idea is, it's believed the initiative will help nearly 2,000 college athletes benefit from NIL name, image, and likeness. After hearing the announcement, fans took to social media to express both envy and disbelief in the measure. So it's Georgia, Ohio State, and the third school might be Texas, I think. Let me see here.
So those student athletes get free Chipotle, basically?
They get a card, and once a week, they can go to Chipotle and get themselves dinner. Now, I don't know how they're saying it's NIL. It doesn't seem like there's like money changing hands or anything.
Right, because that's what it was meant to be.
Right, I guess they're just sponsoring them for a meal. And the hope is that these athletes will, what's your favorite food in some interview or whatever? Maybe they'll mention Chipotle or my pregame meal is this or my post-practice thing is this. According to data, Chipotle, based on a survey of over 1,000 athletes at three schools in question, 98% of Ohio State athletes said they eat from the restaurant chain at least once a month.
Yeah, so like...
So Florida's the other one, by the way. 94% of Florida athletes consider it one of their top three restaurants. So it's going to come up more often when you're eating it. That's kind of the strategy.
And it's smart. Because so back in the day, for example, if I was at like a TGI Fridays and happened to strike up a conversation with someone, and they go, oh, you went to GW? Or you go to GW too? I went there. Let me buy you some mozzarella sticks. NCAA violation. If somebody found out about it or saw the receipt, I could be suspended for 10 games or something like that. That's how stupid that thing was. So that's really what NIL was supposed to be. It was like, if somebody wants to give you a little something, that's fine. I go to Grant's car dealership once a month and I'm hawking Chevrolets. Yay, Danny Ruye, baseball player, football player, whatever.
I'm
totally
a big
fine.
Fan of the George Washington University baseball team.
There you
come
go.
On by, we'll give you a free car wash.
Yeah, and we'll get you a bacon cheeseburger. Fine. But of course, it turned into a legal slush fund where you're just paying guys to play and whatever. But no one cares about that. But this is what it was supposed to be. And I love this. This is awesome. It's smart for Chipotle.
Agreed.
It's awesome for the players, by the way. And I bet you they're not going by themselves. I bet you a whole bunch of people are coming with them. And it's free pub. And it's smart.
So the first of all, I would do this at every school or a bunch of the D1 schools.
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be D1. But if you have a local
Anywhere.
Chain in
yes.
a college town, why wouldn't you do this? The only drawback might be, to your point, that you're not going to go alone. I could definitely see like 9 guys walking in from the team at once, and you're just going down the line, and it's like 9 dudes you're shelling out food for, and you got to back up, and you're making no money on any of this, just from a strictly business standpoint. But also, so what?
Right.
I mean, because those guys are, maybe they post it on social media and influence a little bit. Maybe they just mention it. Maybe they don't. But I don't think there's anything that I would consider a drawback from this necessarily.
Yeah, even that pub right now, what we just did. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a win.
Everyone else is going to do that too. They go, hey, did you guys see this here in the news? They're getting free Chipotle for our Gators. Boom.
Chipotle
you just advertised.
And Fairfax.
Done.
Should do this for the George Mason University basketball team.
100%.
And Channel 4 and Channel 5 will come out and say, this Chipotle is offering, and now it's worth it.
Do you play basketball for the Patriots? Then you can get a burrito right here at this Chipotle. Boom. Free. Love it.
It's not as good as the Pupatella VIP card.
No, I mean, what is?
The terms on that card,
yeah.
Without getting into the specifics, pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So
there's 3 digits on there. That's all I'm saying.
Respectfully to the stars at Florida, Ohio State, and who's the other one?
You said Florida, Ohio State, and Georgia?
Georgia. Respectfully to those great football players.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good deal.
Yeah.
You can go get your Chipotle once a week.
Uh-huh.
My Pupatella card.
You ain't hosting afternoon drive in the district. Tell you
that's
that.
An everyday situation.
Yeah, that's a different animal.
Larry in La Plata, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing? Howard University, class of 96, man. Let me tell you, I'm so glad these kids getting paid off NIL, man. Because let me tell you, we were starving in those dormitories, man, especially on Saturday and Sunday.
I believe it. What'd you play? Did you play football there?
Yeah, I played football there. I was on the 3 championship team.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, to me, it was always so stupid, Larry, that like in your era, and it's not just then, but really up until very recently, as Danny said, I mean, if your buddy walking through the school, you know, what would it be called? It, you know, the
cafeteria,
the
dining
union,
hall, yeah, whatever.
Like,
yeah, dining
your
hall,
pizza,
yeah, dining hall.
The dining hall line, a buddy of yours grabs your pizza and goes, I got you today. That's a violation. You're in big trouble. Like, that is beyond ridiculous.
That's a violation. It's crazy because that would be a violation, but if a student took a job, like, you know, at a local car dealership or, you know, anything, no problem. Or, you know, maybe, you know, a student went to a club and, you know, played an instrument or something.
Right.
That'd be cool, but, you know, we couldn't get a job. We couldn't accept money. And it's crazy because I used to go visit my cousin down at Virginia Tech, man, and he was giving me shoes and money and everything else.
I believe it. I mean, when I was in school, I was working in broadcasting and making good money. I had a buddy in one of my classes that was actually, you know, at the time, an ascending stand-up comedian, and his name was all over stuff, and he was getting paid. And one of our buddies who was on the soccer team, quite literally, anytime we did anything, could not do any of the stuff that we did.
Yeah.
He just couldn't. Mm-hmm. This is not 50 years ago, 30 years ago. This is a decade ago. Like, this is a fairly ridiculous thing that we're talking about. But the amount of nonsense and just the lack of common sense was really bad. And it's why, with all of the negatives that I think that have come with the changing landscape in college football over the last few years that get complained about a lot, and college sports in general, I think in the net, it's probably still more good than bad just because some of the dumbest stuff doesn't happen. But where I would argue with people still is the lack of oversight, the inability to create actual rules and systems, the fact that it's just this wide open, unregulated fiasco is a huge problem. And I personally find myself liking the sport less than I did 5 years ago because of the lack of conferences with real rivalries, because I got to figure out which team is that and where are they playing now and who are their rivals. The fact that a guy could play five seasons on five different teams and hop all over the place, that coaches can't actually coach because he yelled at a guy and now he's moving on and there's a story about you in the Washington Post. It's mostly not for me, but some of the really ridiculous things, like he was just claiming from back in the day, that they fixed, that's the good that's come with some of the bad.
Without a doubt. I mean, again, the pendulum is swung and they didn't have any guardrails in place for that swing. So instead of a pendulum, it's a wrecking ball. And it turned the landscape upside down. And, you know, the folks in the NCAA are toothless and couldn't figure out what to do and basically just got out of the way and let the wrecking ball happen. But, yeah, it's overcorrected. But the nonsense of before, I mean, again, I can only have examples from my career. One of my good friends who was on the women's basketball team, she happened to be very pretty, and she said,
what
okay.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm telling you.
But why did you mention that?
No, here's why. A local bar said, hey, can we take your picture? She was like, all right, I guess. I don't know. Like, I'm not getting paid anything. Well, they used her picture in a flyer. It was like, come see, you know, come to the
because
bar.
Because she was on the volleyball team.
No, because she played basketball and was very pretty. So they were like, well, use your picture. Mm. So she didn't get a single cent. It'd be one thing if she got suspended and made a couple thousand bucks for it. But because somebody saw it, had to turn it into the compliance office, and they go, this is very serious. You're now endorsing a bubble. She's like, I literally didn't do anything.
They just took my picture, man.
Some guy took my picture. I didn't know what I was doing. And 10 games. 10 games. And it's not like a baseball season. A basketball season, that's damn near half the year.
Shtick aside, I mean, I'm doing bits. Yeah, that's the dumb part. But that's one of those things that everyone agrees with. Like, I feel this way sometimes. I don't want to get into politics. But there are certain things that, like, 80 to 90% of us probably go, yeah, that's true. And we can't do it. We can't make it happen. We can't fix it. Even though both sides of the aisle, 80, 90% of people are like, yeah, you're probably onto something there. I just wish we could fix that kind of easy stuff that everyone's in agreement on. And with college sports, this was always the case. Nobody thought that made any sense at any point ever, that picture should get her suspended for 10 games. You kept saying the phrase wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus wrecking ball is such a smash.
Mm-hmm.
It's on every single playlist that I'll ever put together.
Whoa.
Like, it's that kind
every
of,
playlist?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
If I'm putting together a silly playlist, like on a road trip or something.
Like hard rock playlist, Grant Paulson, this also makes it?
I don't have that. I just have music that I like, which is mostly like probably rap from the early 2000s.
And this fits with that.
Well, again, it's not like you have to fit into a box. It's the songs that I like.
I got you.
But this song is such a banger.
It's a slow build to get to there, right?
Miley
Cyrus,
it
is a smash.
All she does people is put
sleep.
Out hits.
People sleep on Miley Cyrus.
Started as a kid on Disney.
Well, you sleep further that her dad is Billy Ray Cyrus, who had like a mullet and was butt weird back in the day, singing about his achy breaky heart, and like that was kind of his one hit wonder. And then he went away, and now he got famous again because his daughter rakes in trillions. It's all weird, man.
Went off the field next, 3:45 every single day. What little thing in your life is put a smile on your face today that nobody else would care about? We care about it here. We want to hear about it. 800-636-1067. The smaller the better. We will win off the field. And then, oh, sure. Time to figure out how you are winning off the field on Grant and Danny. The smaller the better. This is a minor moral victory. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Daniel. You are doing this for Bruce Allen, who once said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
800-636-1067 to play the game. I'll give you an example of how you could be winning off the field. So we park in a parking garage.
Yeah.
Downstairs. We pay $240 per month to park in this parking garage. It comes right out of our paycheck.
Right out.
Like that. It's not that fun. Occasionally, if you're unlucky like Chris Russell, your car can be stolen from this parking garage. While you're at work, hard at work, but working over a hot microphone, right? Downstairs at 3:04 in the afternoon, a gentleman can leave this parking garage with your vehicle. That has happened before. The way I'm winning off the field, though, is I got to work today.
Yeah.
Instead of having to drive around looking for spots for like 10 minutes, going down to P2, P3, P4, P6, P7, P9. The first spot on the right when you get into the garage.
Oh, I love that spot.
It's my favorite spot because it's a quick walk to the stairs if you want to get a little exercise on the Copair program. It's a little bit longer, but fair walk to the elevators if you want to do that, to go out onto Half Street and to waddle down into the Navy Yard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the perfect spot because also I can back in. And then I can pull right out to the left to leave. It's the catbird seat in the entire garage. And today, when I got here, it was available, looking right at me saying, park over here. Therefore, I am.
Running off the field.
I got the one of the two charging spots. I got the electric vehicle, so I got the charging spot. Very excited about that. So I think that's a minor what if.
You can go running ahead. Off the field.
What's up, buddy? I'm doing some stand-up tonight. With a couple of my buddies that I worked with last week. So you saw one of the two guys, GP, when you hung out at Lorton. So Doug, the guy that opened the show.
Yes.
Doug's opened the show tonight in Manassas. And Sarome Russell, who Ryan missed on Friday, even though we were across the street from his apartment when I did the show in Arlington there at Roadside Grill. But Sarome Russell's hilarious. I'm in Manassas, and that is this evening at the Salisbury Center. At Funny Danny, you can find some of the tickets. I put a link up there. That's going to be fun. Because it's going to be fun, I think I am
winning off the field.
You see what I'm saying? So like, it's a fun thing.
Ryan did not see Sarome Russell?
No, he missed him.
Did he go to the bathroom?
No, no.
Did he get a phone call?
No, Sarome did about 25 minutes.
And I know that the show is right across the street from one of your good friends who you work with every day's house.
Who said he was coming.
Who said he would be there.
Yeah.
Well, the next night he told me he would meet me at the show with his girlfriend. And then I texted him when I got to the show, where are you guys? And then I never heard back till 2 days later when he came in studio on a Monday. But he didn't show up also.
We could play a quick game. All right, ready? It's called Fill in the Blank. Batman actor Christian Blank. Christian Blank.
Let's see. It couldn't be Christian Bale.
There it is.
It was.
Yeah. Another guessing game. That's a fun one. Blank the hay. I'm going to blank the hay. What am I doing? What am I going to do with that hay? Blank the hay.
Are you rolling hay?
No, it starts with the B. What am I doing? Blanking the hay.
Are you burying hay?
No, I wouldn't bury it.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
What is it, Darius?
I think you're going to bail the hay?
You're
going to
bail the hay.
Right. Bailing
You're going to bail the hay. Ryan Bale.
Ryan Bailing.
Ryan Bailing.
Let's go to Simeon in Fredericksburg. What's up, Simeon? How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing better now. Bought a Slurpee. Swiped my rewards card, somehow won two $1,500 gift cards for tickets, and I'm getting great seats for four Caps games this year, so therefore I am.
Winning off the field?
Wait a minute.
Hold the phone.
What happened? So is it $1,500 in cash?
No, two $1,500 gift cards from their Live Nation, but they're somehow related to Ticketmaster, so once the Caps tickets went on sale to the general public, I guess, yesterday. Today, I just lined up four lower bowl tickets for taking my seventh grader and fifth grader and my wife to four Caps games with great seats this year.
That is unbelievable.
All for getting a Slurpee?
That's amazing. And you just had a cold, delicious beverage.
How good are Slurpees, by the way?
So does that mean he got some type of like scratch off or something and won that way? Like, where did the $3,000 come
from? That's what I couldn't figure out. It's like you got a Slurpee.
Was it just sitting in the cup?
I don't know.
Like, he got the Slurpee.
And you scratch it off on the cup?
Either way.
That's the greatest Slurpee of all time.
See you at the Caps game. That's going to be a fun fall for you. Jared in Rockville, what's up?
Grant, You Sleep on The Climb by Miley Cyrus, also another banger.
Which one?
The Climb from the, I think it's the Hannah Montana movie.
Oh, so I'm good. I'm not familiar. I'm too busy loving Party in the USA and Wrecking Ball, but I will look that up.
Yeah, We Sleep on How Great She Was anyway. But anywho, so I'm a middle school teacher, and so we're back at school this week, and the county tells us how many fire drills we have to have during each month of the year. So, of course, we have one the first week. And ILT, who's our leadership team, starts planning out when it's going to be. And they decided that it was going to be today during third period, which is my planning period with no students. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Oh, so you just kind of probably just stay in your room.
Yeah.
I know about that. That's that one. If I could deal with the noise, I'm just going to let that one ride.
I don't have to usher anybody anywhere. I don't have to point anybody towards the thing. Everybody walk
line. Steven, get in line. Steven, get in line. Steven, come with us. Steven, we're going this way. Steven, we're going out the door. Steven, leave Frank alone. He doesn't have to do anything.
Hitch yourself in line, please.
Joe in Leesburg. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Gentlemen, I am fantastic. My 12-year-old is playing some fall ball baseball. And they reached out, and the league said they needed coaches. I put in my hat to offer, but someone else had already stepped in. They don't need me anymore, so I get all the credit in the world for offering to coach.
Perfect.
But instead, all season, I get to sit on the bench and eat sunflower seeds, and therefore I am
winning off the field.
It's kind of like when the bill comes, and you go to grab first.
You do that little gator reach.
And then someone else actually pays. You get the credit for trying, but you don't have to pay. It's the best part. It's the double whammy. By the way, Joe, we are coming out to Leesburg next Monday. So a week from Monday, the day after the Giants game, we'll be at Pupatella Pizza in Leesburg for the show for a little field trip.
Ooh, I know right where that is.
All right, cool. Come see us. We'll be there from 2 to 6:30. In fact, next week on Thursday, we're going to be at MGM National Harbor.
Yes.
I don't think they open until around 4 or 5, so you're going to have to come for the back half of the show, but we're there until the show ends, and then B. Mitch and J.P. Finley are going to be there, I think, for Thursday Night Football, and that's at Tap Sports Bar right at MGM, so that's Thursday. And then if you fast forward past the weekend and the Commanders game for the Monday show after the 1-0 start against the Giants, hopefully, we will be at Pupatella in Leesburg. So we got some stuff coming up. We'll be announcing next week our full travel schedule this season with Kondori and Murad. We're going to 2 road games. We'll also be announcing our Friday field trip schedule as well.
So that Monday is actually part of the Friday field trip series, but the Nationals and the Cubs play one of those weird Friday at 2:20 games. So we weren't gonna go out to Leesburg for the show for like 7.5, 8 minutes after the Cubs and Nationals finish up. So we're pushing it to Monday to hopefully celebrate a victory.
Beltway Blitz comes your way next. You'll hear from Nats, speaking of which, ace lefty Mackenzie Gore just pitched at Yankee Stadium. We'll talk to him about that. Plus, the Packers traded for Micah Parsons. We've got a member of their media corps on the show, and we'll preview the weekend ahead in college football, all coming up in the Blitz next on G&D.